have him join us on the Vaquero's Cafe Hotline on this day before Thanksgiving. Our conversation with Coach Dodge brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check them out on the web at cpdoors.com. Todd, I know you're fresh from the practice field, so I appreciate you taking the time. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Craig. We had a really good practice this morning. Now we are. I am sitting here on the tailgate of my pickup truck, watching the turkey bowl, talking with you. So it is in full bloom right now.
I love the turkey bowl. For folks who aren't familiar with it, I've had you tell the story the past couple of years about the turkey bowl because I know it's a special part of the Westlake football tradition.
Yeah, we've started this a long time ago, and unfortunately we weren't able to do it last year. So all of our attack team, which is our scout team players, and any of our JV bring-ups on the week of Thanksgiving, on that Wednesday, which is today, after our normal practice, then we get a chance to get them out. And, you know, there's probably 200 or 300 people here watching them play, friends and family, and so they scrimmage. It's always a fun time.
Yeah, I mean, this is big for the parents and the families of these kids that are playing in this thing, aren't it? To get an opportunity to see their young men that they may have some dreams of the future, what they might be able to do, and becoming full-on big-time contributors for Westlake. But to see them the day before Thanksgiving do this, I know means a lot to the families as well, doesn't it?
Oh, it's really cool when, you know, as the years have gone on, when I find out that some grandparents had come in for Thanksgiving and they got to see their grandson or their son that was a senior and gets to play in turkey bowl, or that some of our younger kids for the future of Westlake football. So it's a fun time.
Tom, let me get your thoughts on, you've had two very impressive playoff victories. I ask you quite frequently because I'm always curious, even in the most impressive of wins, sometimes for you and your staff, maybe the team didn't hit all of the goal boards. I know for most of the folks from the outside looking at 70-7 over New Braunfels, saying surely they must have hit all the goal boards this past weekend. Was that the case? And overall, your assessment of not only the New Braunfels game, but really the first two rounds of the playoffs, the first third of it, if you will.
Well, the thing that we ask our players to do is to just to stay who we are. We've, you know, kind of set the bar on who this team is. This year, it's a very physical team. It's a team that is a very efficient and starts fast on offense, and a defense that just swarms to the football. And so we were able to go out in both of these games to be able to do that. And again, we reference the goal board a lot, and it's kind of how we live. We always talk to our players. You know, the 2 days before the game is, you know, this is our blueprint. You know, if we just kind of start getting into the game, start checking these things off. And then we hit 10 of 10 on defense. And I think we hit 9 of 10 on defense and 9 of 10 on offense. And I think we hit 5 of 7 on kicking games. So, yeah, it was a very efficient game. You know, big thing is, you know, for me, as we go through, we scored on the first possession of the both halves. We didn't turn the ball over. When our twos got in the game in the second half, the bar didn't lower. Defensively, we stopped the run, and they had a really good running back that was a 1,000-yard rusher going into the game. And, you know, I was just really, you know, going into that ball game, you know, as we evaluated New Braunfels, you know, I told our kids, I said, this is a one high school town, just like we are, you know, and the city of New Braunfels is absolutely fired up about their football team. And so they had a win over a undefeated San Antonio Johnson team in week one. So they had our attention big time. And what a great crowd that they brought from just down the road. And it was a great atmosphere there at Rattler Stadium there in San Marcos.
Todd, you brought up something interesting. I heard Chris Beard, the Texas basketball coach, bring up, and it's with regard to when the backups go in the game. And he said almost the exact same thing that you just said, and it's about not having the performance drop off. Now, the layman might say, okay, that's the second team going up against first team. When you say the performance drop off, that encompasses a lot of things, right? About the intensity and the execution, not just whether the score gets a little bit closer.
No, it's all about, you know, getting right there on that goal board. So if our second team offense goes in and we haven't had a three and out the entire ball game, well, the expectation is that we don't. And we didn't the other night. And, you know, that we don't turn the ball over. And that we, you know, as far as the unit grade didn't go down, you know, Nate Acosta, sophomore running back, stepped in and, you know, had almost 90 yards rushing in the second half. And, of course, Christian Edgar, you know, played really well. And then our second offensive line came in and played well. And then defensively, you know, we had nine different defensive linemen in the game throughout the game that graded out with positive points, what we feel is winning points.
You mentioned Christian Edgar playing. Did that time stepping in for Cade at quarterback, have you been able to see that makes him all the more effective and better now when he's going back in with the second team guys?
No doubt. I mean, he just did what he did in the three games that we needed him to step in the middle of a district play. He was 6 of 7 in his time in, and he rushed for about 60 yards and just led the offense like he's supposed to do.
Visiting with Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, here on Light the Tower on the Horn with Craig Way and Snoop Daniel.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about Ethan Burke, and I know he's a lacrosse commit at Maryland, but it looks like he has a new Division I football offer coming in every day. Can you kind of talk about his development this year?
Well, we all knew who he was. I think that a lot more of the recruiting world would have known who he was a little earlier had he been able to play a full season for us as a junior. He broke a collarbone in the summertime playing lacrosse, and then that kind of put him on the shelf till the playoffs last year. And he really had a great run the last three playoff games. He was, you know, just very disruptive, had a great state championship game. But, yeah, he's a high-level lacrosse player and was committed and is committed to Maryland. But he had, you know, the signing day for lacrosse happened about 2 weeks ago, and he bypassed that because all of a sudden he got his first offer from University of Utah, and then he got an offer from Baylor, and then he got an offer from Texas Tech, and he got an offer from Michigan. He took an official visit last Saturday to Kansas State, so it's really taken off for him.
And you've always been a real big proponent and a supporter of kids playing multiple sports because you feel that in the end, for leadership as well as the hand-eye coordination thing, makes them better football players all around, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's something that we pride ourselves in here at Westlake. We've got a whole lot of kids that play multiple sports. You know, most of them, it's either baseball, lacrosse, or they all run track, you know. And, you know, and he has just been one of those guys that has been – you know, I asked him at the beginning of the year, I said, even though you didn't play a full season, I consider you a veteran. He was voted on by his teammates as a team captain, and he's played extremely well. And I'm very, very proud for him and happy for him and his family that this kind of opportunity has come his way at the Division I football level.
Visiting with Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals. Third round of the playoffs. Here we are to the Sweet 16. Todd, you've never called it this that much that I know of, but people outside of programs that watch what happens in the greater Austin and San Antonio area have referred to the third round as Valley Week because schools, quite often, the opponent in the third round is from the Rio Grande Valley. It sometimes can carry a bit of a negative stigma, not toward the programs here, but the programs down there saying they're not ready to compete. And the numbers bear that out. But I know you've never taken that tact with your guys. So the question is, how do you get your guys, and we've discussed this before, we did it last year, how do you get your guys to dial in on the singular nature of the opponent and not a quote-unquote valley opponent with perhaps a huge quarterfinal game the following week to come?
Well, you know, here around our field house, we've never, you know, called it Valley Week. Some people may do that, but that's kind of how it ends up happening. The teams from the Austin-San Antonio area do play a Valley team. We don't call it that. It's all about making sure that we put the video on. We evaluate the team that we're going to play. This team that we're going to play, Far San Juan Alamo North on Friday, is 9-2 on the season. They've got two big playoff wins. I think they're one of the top two, you know, teams in the Valley this year. And so it's all about, you know, making sure that as we prepare for them, you know, and I'm not naive, and sometimes people on the outside of the field house may say, well, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Well, you still got to go do it, you know. And the one thing about at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, Alamo Dome, I think when we kick it off, it's going to be 0-0. Okay. So we got to go earn everything that we have. And, you know, a really physical team that we're playing, they, They've got multiple ways and multiple weapons to run the football, and they've done a great job of it. So our kids will be ready to play.
You've always talked about how special it is to practice on Thanksgiving morning. This year, it's back in that regular year. Last year was kind of weird because it was still in the regular season, but it was still important nonetheless. So how good does it feel to be back on the quote-unquote regular schedule of what a Thanksgiving day practice really and truly means, which in this case means you're in the Sweet 16?
You know, I hadn't really thought about that, Craig, but as I think about it now, I say we didn't play the Turkey Bowl last year. Heck, when we were on Thanksgiving, our JV and freshmen were still playing games on those weeks. You know, I think our JV and freshmen played on Wednesday of Thanksgiving last year, and we played on maybe the Friday of Thanksgiving, and I'm not sure how that went, but we were still in regular season. But it is, the one thing I've always told our teams, this goes all the way back to South Lake, if you're practicing on Thanksgiving, you've made it to the Final 16 in the state of Texas. I just believe that as you go through your journey in a program, any program, that if you can, you can say year in, year out that you've made it to the Final 16, then you can take a lot of pride in what you're getting done.
I'm always curious to get your thoughts too about Thanksgiving, because as a Texas Longhorn, you were part of that run where Texas was playing Texas A&M on Thanksgiving, whether it was day or night.
Yep.
What stands out to you about your time when you were playing for the Longhorns, when you would match up against the Aggies and during those years in Thanksgiving?
Oh, it's just tremendous memories, and we really did. We played it the old-fashioned way. We played it on Thanksgiving Day. And, the crowds, the unbelievable crowds at Memorial Stadium here in Austin and also, there at Kyle Field. I know when we played at Kyle Field, when you look up at those stands and the whole place is kind of swaying, and it looks like the whole stadium's moving. And, I hope that, obviously, I guess, they're all going to be in that same conference here before long, that game will come back. I think that's going to be really important to the state of Texas.
I would imagine it's important to you as a Texas X and the head coach of this program that it was 10 years ago today that it was a former Westlake Chaparral, Justin Tucker, who kicked the game-winning field goal to beat Texas A&M on Thanksgiving night, the last time these two teams played.
Yeah, that's something that obviously as a Texas ex football player and also a Westlake guy also. Yeah, we definitely take a lot of pride in that and reminded that gets reminded this time of year each and every year.
Hey, Todd, I appreciate the time, and we hope you have a great – you and Elizabeth and the family have a great Thanksgiving. Look forward to the game on Friday afternoon in the Alamo Dome, and we'll look forward to the visit next week.
Thanks, Craig. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving, Snoop. Y'all have a great tomorrow, okay?
Thank you.
See you, Coach.
Thanks, Todd. All right. That's Todd Dodge.